Good morning. Our scripture reading today is from the 121st Psalm. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. It's a privilege to be here with you this morning. I look out and see a lot of people that I've met. I've met a lot of people in the first month that I've been here. I see a lot of people that I look forward to meeting still and getting to know you and you getting to know me and my family who's in the fourth row here. I'll tell you a little bit about myself from high school. This will be very useful to you, I'm sure. But this is part of the introduction to the sermon. In high school, I was part of a wilderness club, and it was called Wild. And our wilderness club went on 4 trips a year. Most of our destinations were several hours southwest of St. Louis, within the Ozark Mountains. In the van ride to and from the trail or the cave or the campsite, we listened to a regular rotation of Led Zeppelin, Tom Petty, Queen, the Rolling Stones, Paul Simon, and Jimi Hendrix. It is true for me, and I believe it is true for most of the other Wild members, when we hear some of those songs today, we are transported in our hearts to those trips we took 20 years ago. They were our traveling songs, and they became a kind of glue that bound us together and bound us to a time and place and purpose. Psalms 120 through 134 are called Songs of Ascent. They are believed to be a collection of psalms set apart for singing along the ascent to Jerusalem during the 3 main festivals where God and his people meet and feast together. So they are traveling songs. They are pilgrim songs. All of them are fairly short. And they cover a variety of topics and emotions, and it is easy to see how these songs might have been some of the more popular songs in Israel. Many of them are familiar to us. They are still popular even now. The songs of ascent, like the classic rock songs from my wilderness club days, were a glue that bound people together as they traveled the Jordan River Valley and turned to make their way up the hills and mountain of Jerusalem. My classic rock songs didn't do us a whole lot of good. They weren't useful. They weren't formative, at least not in a good way. But the songs of ascent, just like all the songs, are a gift from God. They are useful. They shape the singing community, and they equip the singing community. This morning, we will look at 121. This song of ascent is a pilgrim song with a pilgrim theme, making it a great example for us to look at. But more than that, more than looking at it, I hope we will also make good use of it. Let's pray. Lord God, we ask for your blessing as we look into your word, and we ask that you would change us and that you would shape us into your image through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, I served as a pallbearer for a Jewish graveside service. At a Jewish service, they have a cantor who sings the Jewish prayers in Hebrew. The woman who was the cantor had a lovely voice, and as far as I could tell, her Hebrew was good too. The psalm she happened to sing was Psalm 121. I wish I could sing it for you now in Hebrew, but if you were here for last Wednesday night's song time, you'll be glad that I'm not going to try that. We don't know the original tunes to the psalms. We don't know what they were sung in. We don't know if there was only one tune for each psalm or many tunes. Some of the psalms have a musical notation or two. Some of them mention stringed instruments, percussion instruments, and pipes. But the fact is, the original tunes are lost to us. God didn't preserve them for us. But just because the tunes are lost to us does not mean we abandon thinking of psalms as songs. The songness of the psalms are essential to what they are. Songs are a mystery. We all know that there is something to them, but it's hard to put our finger on what that is. And sometimes when we try, we snuff it out. I think it is safe to say that all of us are familiar with musicals to one degree or another. Let me ask you a few questions about musicals. Does it make any sense at all for a group of people in the midst of a dramatic moment to join together in a spontaneous song? Does it make sense to dance together, oftentimes with your enemy? Does it make any sense for there to be a full orchestra ready at hand to provide the soundtrack to these moments? I think we must answer these questions with a big yes. For some reason, this makes sense to us. We love it. Who can resist My Fair Lady or Annie or Les Mis? And Disney has made billions of dollars from musicals. It both makes no sense and it makes all the sense in the world because of the power and mystery of song. As we look into Psalm 121, we will first look at the message and see how God loves and takes care of us. But then we will try to unravel some of the mystery of the song. Not so much to dismantle it, but just enough to show its usefulness. We will look at how the psalm is an embodiment of God's love and care. How God, with the gift of this psalm, arms us with words that make us ready for the trials God has for us. Arms us with the words to encourage our brothers and sisters. And arms us with imagery and symbols that give us eyes to see the truth that is around us. The message of this psalm goes straight to the heart. It is a psalm about the power and gracious love of God for his people. It is a psalm to calm fears. It opens with the psalmist, perhaps David, expressing a series of fears and responses. He expresses a feeling and a question that all of us feel and question. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? Here we have our pilgrim, our everyman, singing for us all, asking a question based on real life experience. But what are those hills? What is it that we are lifting our eyes to the hills for? There are several options based on other references in the Psalms. First, the hills could be the ominous hills where robbers hide to attack from. The psalmist may be looking to the hills from a valley of shadow and death, fearful of what may beset him, calling for help. Second, the hills may be the horizon of hope. Again, in a valley of shadow and death, the psalmist looks for the needed rescue coming over the ridge. Third, it could be specifically the hills of Jerusalem. As he approaches Jerusalem, he lifts up his eyes to see where his help comes from. The footstool of the Lord. In this case, he's looking to the hills for the help he knows is there. All three are possible, and all three speak from a different angle about the same thing. The singer is vulnerable and is looking for help from above. And we can relate to all of these. Who of us doesn't look to the metaphorical horizon in fear or for rescue? The hills that surround us sometimes are ominous. Our trials and concerns bear down on us. Sometimes they're already upon us, and we feel low and lost, and we look for any way out. How are we going to make ends meet? When will the next paycheck clear? When will it get better between us? Will it ever get better between us? What do I do with this child? What do I do with this parent? I have several pictures burned in my mind of my own times lifting my eyes to the hills. I can still picture real horizons in all the places we've ever lived. We've been kicked around from time to time. We have stumbled through the valleys. I have turned my eyes to the hills, asking, from where does my help come? The psalmist captures so simply and so well our vulnerability and instability. He captures the fear and frustrations of our tenuous pilgrimage through this life. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? But the song answers its own question. My help comes from the Lord, who made heavens and earth. My help comes from Yahweh. Yahweh is the covenantal, relational, personal name of God. The singer is claiming a personal relationship with God and a relationship with the destiny and eschatology of God, the purpose of God. And the singer makes a point to describe Yahweh as the maker of heaven and earth. Remember, this metaphor is also historical. It is a pilgrim song for life, but it is also a pilgrim song for an actual festival pilgrimage. So maker of heaven and earth is not, for the psalmist, an abstract truth. Place yourself in the path of ascent, walking through the valleys on the way to Jerusalem. He made this valley. He made these hills. He made the heavens above the hills. Look to the hills and look to the heavens. God is not worried. He created it. He created heaven and earth. In verse 3, the grammar of the verse suggests that this could be expressed, may not he let your foot slip, and may not he who keeps you slumber. Similar to the opening question, the psalmist uses rhetoric that leaves room for doubt. It is an expression of a wish or a hope, like, I hope he knows what he's doing. I hope he is paying attention. Questions we too can't help but ask. And the psalmist doesn't criticize these questions. He gives us these questions so that we can speak them and express them. He gives us words to express the fear in our own hearts. We become active participants in this song. With great artistry, he ministers to the doubts and questions we all have. And here in verse 4, he responds again with the powerful dose of the medicine we need. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. We will be afraid. We will lift our eyes to the hills and wonder and worry. We need help. We desire deliverance. We long for comfort and peace. We have it with Yahweh, who made heaven and earth. Yahweh, who never slumbers nor sleeps. The remaining lines of the psalm emphasize the Lord as our keeper, with the stress on the Lord and also the stress on the keeping. Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. Verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all evil. The Lord will keep your life. In verse 8, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. What does it mean to keep? Keep and keeping means that we are secure in the hand of the Lord. A medieval keep was a fortified tower within a castle. Adam was instructed to keep the garden, which meant he was to guard it, a job that fell to the angel with the flaming sword when Adam failed to keep it. Keep means that we are armed with his weapons against evil in our going out and coming in. It means that we have backing, that we have a secure base. It means the name that we sojourn with is the true name that endures. The psalmist is emphatic about the extent of God's keeping of you. He uses a technique of pairing extremes to communicate the fullness of God's diligence over his beloved. I asked our scripture reader this morning, Michael, to read the scripture, if he could, in the style of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., because this is a perfect psalm for that style, and he did not do it. I asked him to do it because I cannot do it either. That's not my style. I wish it was, but my style is not the Dr. King style. It's more of a Dr. Seuss style. So I'll give that a try. God will keep you in day and night. God will keep you earth and sky. God will keep you in and out. God will keep you then and now. From where will my help come right now? Yahweh. From where will my help come tomorrow and the next day? Yahweh. From where will my help come when I go out to the field? Yahweh. From where will my help come in my home life? Yahweh. Even at night? Yes, even at night. He begins with heaven and earth and closes with now and forevermore. Like slices of bread holding a sandwich together. All of space, all of time. We fear. We lift our eyes to the hills and worry and wonder. And the Lord keeps us. This message is not a new message. Psalm 121 is not a groundbreaking message, but it is one that we need to hear over and over again. But the point of this psalm and all the psalms isn't primarily to reveal a message, but to plant the message in you and to equip you with a powerful tool for kingdom expansion. The psalm places the truth, the good news, in your heart, in your hand, and in your mouth. I got an umbrella as a Christmas gift. I keep it in my car. I know what an umbrella is. I understand its materials and its mechanics. I know what it is used for, and I support the umbrella and its purpose. If we were standing in the rain getting wet, you might say, "Too bad you don't have an umbrella." And I would say, "I do have an umbrella." And you might ask, "Then why aren't you using it?" If I said, "I'm all right, I know what an umbrella is, and I understand all about it," you would think I was crazy. An umbrella needs to be used to experience its benefits. And it is the same with the Psalms. If we look back to verses 5 and 6, we see the Lord is our shade, and the sun will not strike us, the moon will not strike us. The Lord is our shade against the striking of the sun and the moon. We can know that this is a true message, but how is it true? How is he our shade? On face value, we can understand what it means to be struck by the sun. The sun beats upon us as we work. It strikes our harvest. It can be a heavy-handed oppressor. Metaphorically, we can understand this in a variety of ways. Perhaps you have enemies. Maybe you have a tough boss or impossible deadlines. How are you then shaded by the Lord? What about being struck by the moon? Perhaps it means something about how a bright moon can expose your camp to enemies at night. Figuratively, it could mean the subtle schemes and exposures that strike against us in the hidden places. Being struck by the moon, or being moonstruck, has a long history, including within the Bible, of having to do with mental disturbances. Being struck by the moon might even include the paralyzing, anxious self-talk we can fall into that spirals in upon ourselves. The sun strikes us in the open. The oppression and damage is visible and tangible. Being moonstruck is the torment of our mind and spirit by the subtle workings of worries, lies, and secret schemes. So again, how does God keep us? How does God work the truth of the message into our experience when we are being struck by the sun and the moon? Psalm 121 gives us a message of God's personal grasp upon each of us. The Lord will keep you and be your shade. But how is he our shade? Isn't that always the question? Yes, we believe what God says is true, but how is it true? Now we return to the mysterious nature of songs. Psalm 121, the song, is a means for bringing about the truth of its message. The psalm is an embodiment of God's love and care. The package of the message is part of the message, and it is part of the how. These God-given songs, when owned by us and sung on our pilgrimage, are a union of word and sacrament. The song is a resounding, lived message that brings about the reality of that message. Reformed scholar on worship, Reggie Kidd, says, "Think of singing as a language that allows us to embody our love for our Creator. Christian belief is necessarily sung because when we sing it, we own it better. We just can't help ourselves." By sounding out this song, by making it part of who we are, by making it part of our community song, we become armed for the trials God has for us. We are armed to encourage our brothers and sisters. We are armed with the imagery and symbols that give us eyes to see the truth around us. We are given a means for expressing the fears and hopes of our hearts that orients us to our Lord. We are changed by the singing of these songs. There is a saying, "The proof is in the pudding." It is a shorter version of, "The proof of what is in the pudding is in the eating." And the proof of the psalm is in its sounding. When sung or sounded, this song of Psalm 121, this pilgrim song, is the how. It is how God shades you from the sun. It is a song to labor to. It is a work song. The singing resounds in our bodies and in the air and in our eardrums. It is truth happening in history, and it shapes our experience of God's loving care into the reality of our work. The song is how God shades you from the moon. It is a song to counter the words that assail your mind. It is a song of comfort and healing. The singing resounds in our bodies and in the air and in our eardrums. It is truth happening in history, and it shapes our experience of God's loving care into the reality of his comfort. This song is how God consoles us in the valley of the shadow of death. When we look for help, it gives us courage. It is a song of peace. The singing resounds in our bodies and in the air and in our eardrums. It is truth happening in history, and it shapes our experience of God's loving care into the reality of courage. All psalms are to be used in such a way. Many have a more narrow focus. Some are songs of revenge. Some are songs of sorrow. Some are songs of joy. Making use of them changes us into those who resound with godly justice, resound with godly sorrow, and resound with godly praise. Psalm 121 is broadly useful, so it is a perfect example for usefulness. It is straightforward. It is a pilgrim song about the pilgrim life. The psalmist writes it in a self-talk way when he opens it with a question and an answer. But he also shifts the song from himself to others, from I to you, which makes it useful for singing to others on their journeys. And this brings me to my final point. This pilgrim song is useful for building up others. One of my good friends was going through a difficult time. I didn't have any useful words to say to him of my own. So I sent him Psalm 121. I told him to make it his song, and that comfort would come through its use, that the proof of the pudding was in the eating. A week later, he told me that not only did he make it his song, God gave him the opportunity to use it to help 8 other people that week. He received the blessing of experiencing God's keeping, and he gave others the comfort of our keeping Lord. And I know firsthand what he is talking about, because I had called him up that week and told him about some things I was worried about, and he told me Psalm 121. He turned around and sent it right back my way. And the Lord made the truth of his message known to our hearts through the use of this song. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in, from this time forth and forevermore. I commend the message of this psalm to you. When you are afraid, when you are anxious, when you are vulnerable, know that the Lord keeps you. Take the message to heart. But more than that, put this psalm into your heart by using it. It is a gift to you. The Lord will keep you with it. This is what the psalms are for. They tune us to who God is and what he is about. They shape our hearts, and they arm us with his gifts. You are his pilgrim, and this is a useful pilgrim song. Let's pray. Lord God, we give you thanks and praise for the gift of your word and we are thankful that you give us these psalms. And we ask that you would help us to take hold of them and to make use of them. Don't let us be standing in the rain with our umbrella left behind. Thank you that you are our keeper, that you love us, that we trust, we can trust you, that we are safe in your hand. And we pray that we would go forward from this gathering in your presence today into the week, armed with your word against the sun, against the moon, and against the trials that beset us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Receive now the Lord's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in peace.